Leafs Panthers tonight. Panthers have been their own dumpster fire at times this year. We focused a lot on Edmonton and Montreal today.
Yeah.
Florida's been a disappointment because a couple of years ago they had that really surprising year.
Yep.
Picked up a lot of points. They were that young team on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it all went south and there was kind of a circus atmosphere around the organization.
Because of the owner, and then the owner was working for Trump. Like, remember he was
yeah, Vinny the head something. Of the...
Vinny Viola.
Vinny Viola.
But it was the head
of the army or secretary
of the
army.
And they got rid of him and the coach got fired in a weird way.
Took a cab.
Like it was just a circus.
Just an absolute circus.
But I think people expected Florida to start moving back in the right direction.
Yep.
I think they were hopeful of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been very disappointing. And the Leafs are 12 points up on them. They have a chance to go 14 clear and almost put them completely in their rear view. Like, see you later. Right? And we were saying this earlier. Is it too soon to push a team early in a game to the point where they say, forget it, we're done?
Like, I think it's getting pretty close to that point.
It's getting close.
You talk about Arizona, Buffalo, maybe Edmonton, who knows? 2-0 after one, over.
All right, let's bring in Ray on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. Do you have a drop-dead date for that mentality, for a losing team that just knows they're not going anywhere, so they will completely mail in a game if it gets ugly early?
October 17th in Atlanta.
That quickly.
Two games in or what?
Man, if we can win 14 in a row, we'll get back to 500. You know what? It's this time of the year, I think most things are not set in stone, but they're kind of set in motion. You sort of know what you are. I think guys have kind of settled into their whatever their role is. The guys that aren't having a very good year still have hope to turn the season around because there's still 60 games left, and theoretically that can happen. But a team doesn't all of a sudden become good if they're not. So I mean, a quarter of the way through, I think you're probably smelling exactly what you are by that point.
Well, if that's the case, then the Leafs have a chance to get on this Florida team pretty quickly tonight. And, you know, kind of bounce back for what they didn't do against Arizona. It was, you know, the shoe was on the opposite foot on Monday night. Arizona came out hot, scored first, stayed in the game. The Leafs couldn't get back into it.
Once you get the belief, you feel like for that night anyway, because you're not sitting on the bench going, gee, I wonder what the game's going to be like in 3 days. You're like, wow, we're in it tonight. We're tied after one. We've hung with these guys. Now, as the game gets shorter, the underdog always has a better chance. And so if you're not a great team and you've gotten through 40 minutes, now whatever your weak spots are, they become smaller and smaller because there's less time in the game. Like Noodles mentioned Edmonton last night. I mean, I don't know if you guys watch much of that, but that was a mail-in of mail-ins.
Well, Ray, we were talking about it. And we asked Strutty, we all discussed it ourselves. Do you think there's more than X's and O's or bad goaltending? It seems like there's something. So somebody hates somebody within that locker room or something. It's more than hockey stuff.
It looks rotten.
Yeah.
It really does. Like there was the one goal there that Scotty Upshaw scored. It was a three-way passing play. It started up in the middle of the ice, and they got beat in the middle, then they got beat on the first pass. It was like combination of brain dead. And when you're out of it, like mentally out of it, those things happen. And it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't Matthews and Marner and Nylander making the play. It was Upshaw and Chris Thorburn and Kyle Brodziak. And they look like the Harlem Globetrotters. Like they look like they're mentally out to lunch. They get outworked everywhere. They kind of wander all over the place. There's something rotten. There has to be. Because I don't know if they were as good as the second round team last year, you know, game seven of the second round, but they shouldn't be this bad.
Yeah. And actually, you know, to your point, Ray, we had Jason Strudwick on about half an hour ago, and he was talking how their defensive zone coverage is just a joke. And they've had some players that have regressed, but other players just haven't gotten better. And it's almost, he said, he used this term, the whole team has a 1,000-yard stare. like you mentioned, out to lunch. I watched the game last night. I watched both, actually, the Montreal one too, because I just wanted to put eyes on what was going on. And that Edmonton team was so checked out mentally that, and you got to give full marks and full credit to St. Louis. They're a good team, but
oh, they took them to the woodshed, didn't they?
Exactly. That was a damn beatdown. Like, and Shen dominated. Terrace, that line dominated, but Edmonton had no pushback and no recourse for any of their lines or anything in the game.
Well, that's a great question when you compare and contrast Edmonton and Montreal. What would you prefer as the generic GM? It doesn't even have to be Shirelli and or Bergevin. You put yourself in both positions. Would you rather have a team that you know is skilled enough but is checked out mentally, or a team in Montreal that isn't skilled enough but is still trying hard? Like, which one's easier to figure out?
Well, for the short term, honestly, it's Montreal, because their issues are very clear. Like, they're, you know, you look at their defense and you go, that's just not good enough. Gee, and their center ice position is as unproductive as anyone else around the league. Like, you can see what the problems are. And maybe you can play tight enough to, because I don't think it's a lack of effort when I watch Montreal. I thought they actually played pretty well, and then they have their cramp and give up their ninth time. They give up two goals in under a minute,
yeah,
and the game's gone. I thought Claude Julien was going to, his head was going to explode when that second one went in.
I know.
They went to him on the bench, and he's like, you could just see he was swearing away, and I'm like, man, but at least you got a chance with when you can see what the holes are. In Edmonton, unless they, you know, it's behind the door and they can see it, they were just kind of like sitting on the bench, and then it's their turn to play, and they kind of skated around for a while and then came and sat down and watched the game again. Like, they talk about, you know, like having backbone and, you know, how hard they were to play against last year. The only guy that got in a fight was, not that you have to fight, was Matt Benning, and that was because Tarasenko dragged him into the fight.
Yeah.
Like, where is the big, strong, physical Oilers? Like, where is that? It's nowhere. It hasn't been there, and it certainly didn't show up again. And for those that think fighting turns a team around, well, it certainly didn't turn the Oilers around.
Well, but the flip side of that, in terms of the intangible that is impossible to define and a lot of people shake their head at, there was another team from Alberta that got spanked last week and decided to do something about it and got pissed off, and there was a bit of a fight. And since then, they've responded pretty well. And that would be Calgary and Detroit. They lost, I think, 8-2 that night, and Tkachuk got suspended, and there was a bit of a melee and a couple of fights, and guys were talking smack, and the coach came out afterwards and said, I'm happy they showed some emotion. It's about time they showed some emotion.
Yeah.
Calgary looks like they're in an okay spot. They've bounced back. You know, it's an old school mentality, and I get it. This is old school versus new school. And I don't think he would admit to it publicly, but behind closed doors, I'm sure Todd McClellan was thinking, can someone do something here to prove that you actually are acknowledging you're getting destroyed?
That you give a crap.
Right, because I didn't see it in the third period. I didn't see it at all.
That was a mail-in job.
Right.
And it got me thinking, like, are they just... Is the season slipping to being irretrievable for them?
Feels that way to me, Ray.
Like, how are you going to fix it? What's the trade you're going to make to fix it? The only guy I think that's movable there is Nugent Hopkins.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, who else are you going to move?
Well, you move him, too. Your depth at center ice is Gonzo. So what the hell are you going to do then?
That's what I mean. Like, what are you getting back to fix things? They go into this year, and when you look at it, and, you know, from an overview, Talbot played 73 games last year. What are the chances he was going to do that again? Noodles, you said last year, when everybody was talking about the overuse, that, you know, would this affect him? You said last year, not this year, maybe next year.
Yeah.
And he has not been anywhere close. I think he's like at 902 or 903 save percentage.
And I feel bad. You're right. Sorry to interrupt. You're right, because I've been such a Talbot fan, but he just hasn't even been close to the goaltender he was last year. And he's a very good goaltender structurally, but it goes back to this team. Like, he looks like he's thinking the game out there. As a goalie, you're done. Like, Carey Price has had the same struggles, and he has that same look on his face when he's off. And Talbot has it right now, where it's they're having a tough time. And I know this is a really bad thing to say as a goaltender, finding the puck, like seeing the puck. Because when Frederik Andersen, for example,
it's the term fighting it. He's fighting it.
But Anderson's dialed in. You can tell that he's tracking the puck very well. And when a guy struggles, they can't find the puck. Like they're trying to find it. They can't see it clearly, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's not a slight on them. It's just I've been there. I know what it's like. And both of those goaltenders have had that, and I see that look in their eye.
Mark Letestu, who had an amazing year last year, 16 goals. I'm not even sure how many he had on the power play, but, man, he was a really important part of that power play. And like everybody else in their bottom six, he's got 3 goals in 20-plus games this year. Like did they think everything was going to continue to grow at the same pace as it did the year before when they came from 10 years out of the playoffs to into the playoffs? So they had one, Patrick Maroon had an amazing year. Well, not so much this year.
Yep.
Their right side of their lineup, I would say Peter Chiarelli stepped in it because he didn't have to trade Jordan Eberle this summer. They were under no cap problems. McDavid's deal doesn't go ahead till next year. So they went backwards in the Strome for Eberle deal. For sure they did. In my opinion. So now you lose one more top six forward. Cassian doesn't have a goal. They gave him a 3-year extension. Like, their moves that they made have almost, I can't think of one that you could say, yep, that was a positive move for them from last year to this year. Not one of them.
Well, you want to talk about some guys that were, when you get traded and your old team has success, you're like, God, that sucks, man. I bet you P.K. Subban, Jordan Eberle, and Taylor Hall, they're looking at these situations and saying, thank Christ I'm not there.
Well, think about how quickly that changes, though. What have we said for the past 2 years? Well, they've got 97. Everyone's going to want to play there now. Everyone's going to want to be a part of it. That hasn't changed because of 21 games, so they just have to ride it out. Like, I don't see what Peter Chiarelli can possibly do. Quite frankly, if I was an Oilers fan, I'd be terrified that he's going to continue to try to make moves. Because, Ray, the Talbot deal he made was a very good deal. And it paid big dividends last year. I still believe he's going to be fine. I think you do too,
yeah.
Noodles.
Yeah, I do.
He's in a bad spot. But he's made a lot of other deals that I still can't wrap my head around. I can't. I just can't. Like, the Taylor Hall for Larson deal, I know we've talked about it until we've been blue in the face. Larson's a good player. Taylor Hall is a very good player. A good player for a very good player rarely makes sense. I think Strome for Eberle, you just hit the nail on the head. Griffin Reinhart, they didn't even protect that kid. They gave away the 16th pick that turned into Matt Barzell and the 31st pick in that draft. Like, he has made some horrible moves. And he didn't get discounts on McDavid or Draisaitl. What's he done? Like, what has he done well? Like, really well? He hired McClellan and he traded for Talbot. That's it.
So they were expecting, Matt Benning would take a step this year, in particular without Sakara. That's not been the case. It looks like they're asking him to do too much.
Yeah.
For them. Like, that's what that looks like. They wanted to get bigger and stronger. They're not fast. Not that you have to be speed burners, but they're the opposite of fast. I mean, it's hard to think of that because we watch McDavid skate, but go through their lineup and it's slow guy, slow guy, slow guy, slow guy. Draisaitl's not fast. Nugent Hopkins is a good skate, is a really nice skater, but he's not super fast. Lucic is not fast. Maroon's not fast. Strome's not fast. Letestu's not fast. But wait a minute, that's all their forwards. Like, you get into a point where you're like, they might just have the wrong team. It worked beautifully last year, but last year has nothing to do with this year. So when people say, oh, well, after the Christmas break, they went on a 17-4-2 run or whatever a run, the run from last year was, what the hell does that have to do with this year? Nothing. It is two different years. They're not dead in the water, but they're in trouble. They're in my opinion, they're they're in trouble. I don't see where all of a sudden everybody's going to get hot again to or productive again to make them a really good team. And they can say, oh, we're only five games under under 500. Well, you got to win a so you got to go on a five game winning streak to start over again.
Yeah, they're a week away from being out of it and thinking about next year. Very simple.
Well, and the thing is, like, McDavid is still putting up McDavid-like production.
Yeah.
He's got 26 points in 21 games. He's going to get his 90 points. He's going to put up his points. So it's not like you can sit there and say, well, he was injured. Like, a couple of years ago, you had that. He missed 44 games or whatever it was.
Only played four. Yeah, exactly.
But it's not like you can sit there and say, well, we don't have McDavid, so what are we going to do? He's playing. He's playing a ton of minutes. He's putting up numbers. And it's not really factoring into
people
anything in the standings.
It's the people around him that are not.
That's my point. It's not him. You know, there's not one thing you can look at that's so obvious that you're like, wow, that clearly is what's holding the Oilers back. I mean, it's amazing.
And Brian, that's why in your question earlier, I said that's why I think it's easier for the short term for Montreal. They can look at their team and they can go, I see where the problems are. And you can try and address, they got $8 million in cap space. Maybe they should use it a little bit. You know, maybe they can get a defenseman. Maybe they're trying. I would think they are. Try to get a defenseman. Try to get a forward that can score. But if you're in Edmonton, it's like you got to spray the infield and try and improve everywhere.
Yeah, and we know the deal here, being in Toronto. You try to get you fix your problems with guys from other teams and other organizations.
Yeah,
we saw it with the Leafs, with Phaneuf from Calgary, Phil from Boston, Bernier from L.A., Lupo from Philly, or wherever the hell he was from. It's like, if you don't do it within, you're screwed.
And that takes time. And if I'm an Oiler fan, that is the last thing I want to hear. More time. Really?
Yeah, they need to rebuild.
Well, that's the biggest killer, is that they, last year, it was so fun. Such a great ride. Game 7 of the second round, they were up 3-2 on Anaheim. I think the refs screwed them at two or three games, too. I think they should have won that series. And, you know, you sign McDavid, you sign Dreisaitl, all this excitement, and it's November 22nd,
and you're
people
on your
are
face.
Like, I can't believe what happened here.
Yep.
You know, that makes it also different than Montreal. I don't think anyone in Montreal thought that Habs team was a cup-contending team. I think they felt they would be better than this, maybe, but not cup contending. The Oilers were favored in Vegas. There were people planning long springs in Edmonton, understandably so, myself included. And it sure doesn't look like they're even going to get there. It's crazy. Anyway.
When you brought up Montreal again, I just thought of Claude losing his mind behind the bench after that second goal. And I could just think of that. You guys must have seen that gif from last year with the fried chicken. it might be my favorite one.
Yeah,
like honestly, I'm just putting a mental picture of that together. And so maybe they didn't think they were going to be that bad in Montreal, but that can't be very much fun around there either.
There's no question in Nashville tonight. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Yep, talk to you then.
There's Ray on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial for fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer.
Visit your best show today.
I've had a tough time.
You've been fine.
I've had a tough time.
It's not good.
I thought that Shirelli rant, though, kind of got me back on the rails.
Got you back.
I got the emotion and the passion pouring in.
If it was around the horn, the numbers went up, and then it just went...
Yeah. That choppy read that I just laid on the line.
Garbage.
Visit valiantfinancial.ca.